Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. And it's a pleasure and an honor to go before the people of God. And I thank God for the opportunity for allowing me to be in this place on tonight to share the word of God with you all. I thank God for the fellowship, because we come together week after week that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you who've taken time from your busy schedule to come and join us as we expound on the word of God. Well, tonight our lesson is coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. And we're going to expound on the 13th to the 21st verse. The title of our lesson tonight is, "It's not about how much you gather, but how much you scatter." I'll say that again. It's not about how much you gather, but it's how much you scatter. When I chose that title, I was thinking about how much is enough and how much is too much. So before I go into the study, I'm going to play a song. The song seems so appropriate to me because Tamla Mann is saying to God, "Here I am, a vessel unworthy of you." So I'm going to play the song, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace in prayer.
Here I am,
And I thought that song was so appropriate for tonight because the songwriter is saying, I give my everything. The writer of the song realized that everything you have, God gave it to you. And everything you are and everything you'll ever have belongs to God. And at this time, we'll have our prayer. If someone on the line would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open up your mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the beginning of all beginning and the end of all ends. Lord, we come to you tonight to study your word. Lord, we come to lift up our praise unto you. Lord, we come that the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth of your word to us. Lord, we come because there's no other help we know. We come, dear God, because we know you hear our prayers. We come, dear God, because you told us to bring all our burdens to you. And we come that we will learn of you, the finish of our faith, our Lord, Savior, and Master. We come, dear God. I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't know if you could hear the background, so I went to take care of it. So I'll say the title of our lesson again because others have come on the line. The title of our lesson is, It's Not About How Much You Gather, But How Much You Scatter. And then I would ask the question, how much is enough? And how much is too much? When the song was being sung, the writer of the song evidently understood stewardship. Stewardship is what God expects of all of us. You see, a steward is someone that takes care of something that belonged to others. God told us in his parable when Jesus talked about the servants. Jesus explained that he had to go away and he entrusted his servants with talents and things to operate in the world, on earth rather. And Jesus left. But Jesus is coming back. And I want to let everyone know tonight that everything that God has given you, everything that God has bestowed upon you, all of your blessings, your talents, your resources, your time, and even your life belongs to God. But God has extended these resources to us here on earth as we live in the kingdom of God here on earth. And we should be using the things that God have us for the commonwealth of all. Could you imagine how the world would be, not the unsaved believers, but if all Christians would be willing to share and to care and to give and to help and to encourage one another, how would it be living in the realm of God on earth? You see, God has given us everything that is necessary to live a righteous life. And not only that, he has given us blessings. And usually, it's more than enough for us. But he did that where we could share the wealth with others. And many times, we don't have much. But I can guarantee you have enough to share. I can remember in the old days when the mother would cook food, say a pot of beans. She might have not had a lot of meat in it. And she fed her children, and sometimes it was a house full. And there were other children who didn't have anything to eat. And out of that pot of beans, she made sure everybody was full and not hungry. See, you don't have to be a millionaire to be able to give. Because there's always someone less fortunate than you. In your closet, you may have 20 dresses and can only wear one at a time. And you know someone, maybe at your church, that only have one dress because they wear the same one all the time. See, we all have something we can give because that's just the way God planned it. You see, the word stewardship simply means to manage someone else's property. We remember the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything in it. So if we got to get the concept to understand who it all belongs to, and what we have been given by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, is not only for us. You see, for the Christian, as scripture proclaim, everything belonged to God. And we manage the property until the Lord returns. To discover what the Bible says about stewardship, we start with the very first verse in the Bible. It said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You can't get around that. There's no one should be walking around on this earth believing that things belong to them. And yes, God allows us to have enjoyment with things while we're here. And the Bible teaches that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. You see, God made Solomon the richest man on earth. Not only was he the richest, he was the wisest. So if God didn't want his people to have anything, he wouldn't have granted such blessings upon Solomon. And then you always got to remember, everything is not for everybody. But having the most is not the thing that brings the most joy. God says he's going to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. How many times can you remember going to sleep hungry? The man with $1 million can only make the same testimony that you did. He may not have gone to sleep hungry. You haven't went to sleep hungry. The only thing, money gives choices. So even though he ate every night, he might have got to eat what he wanted. Maybe you didn't, but a full belly is a full belly. So we have to realize that we are stewards. Everything we have came from God. You might have a great job making a lot of money, but if God don't give you breath, you can't go to work. Come on, y'all. God has that control. You see, stewardship acknowledge and practice that we do not have the right to control, to control ourselves or our property fully. Fully, I said. It means as a steward of God, we manage that which belongs to God, and we under his constant authority as we administer his affairs on earth. You see, Jesus was here teaching, talking. He died and was buried, and he rose, and He ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We should be taken on the image of Christ by the acts of love that he showed us and do as much as we can as he taught us to do. Love your neighbor like yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you do those two things, you will have accomplished all of the law and all of the sayings of the prophets. And we still have time with those two things. We still have problems sometime with those two things. You see, faithful stewardship means that we fully acknowledge we are not our own, but belong to Christ, the Lord who gave himself for us. In essence, stewardship expresses our total obedience to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stewardship is a form of obedience. Stewardship is a form of worship. Stewardship is a form of caring and sharing. Stewardship is giving encouragement and helping someone along the way. Stewardship is what God has us to do. And when we do the proper stewardship, that is when our light will shine and men see our good works, and that's when God gets the glory. Are you a steward? Or do you just think you belong to you and what you have is just for you? Stewardship. So I think stewardship information was great for the lesson, and we could see as we go into it. So now I'm going to read Luke, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start at the 13th verse, and I'm going to do the 13, 14, and 15. I went up a little bit in the scripture so we could see what Jesus was doing when he gave this parable. But in 13 it said, one in his company, see, Jesus was teaching. Jesus also knew that his time on earth was short. Jesus was always trying to get in as much as he could so the people could be taught. You see, and he was teaching, and while he was teaching, someone came to him. And they say, one of the company, one of the people gathered there, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. 14. And he said unto him, Jesus told a man, who made me judge or the divider over you? And verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. See, he wanted what his brother had. It may not even been the time to divide the inheritance. The brother probably was the older brother. But you see, he wanted some. You know how we have people today that died and they have a will and they make a will, but everybody's not satisfied with it. Why people can't understand, if a person had something and they willed it to who they wanted to will it to, then that's what it should be. But everybody have a spirit of entitlement that something belonged to me, that the will is not right and the person was forced to do the will. They go on and on and on. And then this verse is, this man asked Jesus to make his brother give him some of what he got. And then he goes on to say, for a man, life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possessed. Jesus is telling the man, are you eating and do you have somewhere to rest your head? Come on, y'all. They evidently had a lot as far as the family was concerned, because he wanted some of what the brother had. You see, Jesus was talking and he knew his time on earth was coming to an end. Someone in the crowd asked him to make his brother divide his inheritance with him. You see, people always want what they want from you. He wasn't grateful to have the master in his presence teaching. Come on, y'all. What would you give to sit under Jesus right now if Jesus could appear and begin to teach you? He wasn't concerned with the fact that he was with the master and he was teaching, and he could be learning and praising God for Jesus. He was only concerned with his own needs. You see, he was displaying a spirit of covetousness. Jesus looked at the man's heart, the attitude, and the intent. When we bring problems to God in prayer, he often does the same thing with us, showing us how we need to change. You know, some of the things we ask for, the timetable we're looking for it for, and all of these things. But he often given us time to change and grow in our attitude towards our problems. You know, some people's attitude towards a little bitty small problem grow up. It might be the problem of a mustard seed, and you know a mustard seed, when it's grown, is one of the biggest plants. So God is teaching us how to look at our problems and put them in a perspective, y'all. But then you got to, after doing that, you realize you turn it over to God and you leave it there. The answer is not often what we were looking for, but it is more effective in helping us trace God's hands in our lives. Oh, God told me to wait, and because I wait, I see why he told me to wait. That wasn't a good deal. This was neither the time nor the place to bring up such a matter. Even though the man didn't fully understand, he didn't all the way know Jesus, he hadn't had a lot of teaching, but he knew that there was something different about Jesus, and if Jesus agreed with him, everything would be all right. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus went on to tell him things doesn't make or break you. It's not what you have, but who you are in Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. Nobody's more than you. They may have more than you. Jesus said, I am not the judge or the divider over you. And there were courts in place to take care of that matter. He wasn't saying that he was not a judge, but not an earthly judge. Look how Jesus knew how to stay in his lane. But he was the righteous judge of God. Jesus was staying in his lane, y'all. You see, Jesus is saying a good life has nothing to do with being wealthy. With this in mind, be on guard against greed, always desiring what you don't have. Take time to remember everything that you do have. And you got to put in your scenario, God made everyone unique. What God has for you is for you. Everybody's not going to be rich. Everyone is not going to be an entrepreneur. Everyone is not going to hit the lottery. But what God's got for you is for you. And in line with this lesson tonight, I want you to know this. I hear people speak, what God's got for me is for me, with such authority. But I come to tell you tonight what God has for you to do as stewards. It's for you to do, too. Hallelujah. When we focus on things we don't have, we can't see what we do have. Y'all know the story when they say there was a man that wanted a pair of shoes and was despondent because he didn't have shoes, and not only did he want shoes, he wanted the kind of shoes that he wanted. and he was very disappointed and despondent. And he walked the block and he saw a man with no feet. I come to tell you tonight, the only true good life is living in a relationship with God and doing his work. Do you believe it? And you have to believe it to be able to achieve it. And verse 16 through 19 says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, now the man came to demand that Jesus did something for him. He didn't even ask. And this is the way that Jesus answered the man. Jesus is using a parable at this time to answer the man that asked him the question. So in 16, and he spake a parable unto them, talking about Jesus. And he said, the grounds of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. 17, and he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? He's saying, golly, I'm just being blessed and blessed and blessed. My harvests keep coming in, and I got so much. My space is running out. And he said, this is what I'll do. This is what he came up with, leaning to his own understanding. He said, I will put down my bones. I'm going to tear them down and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And 19. And then he got bold. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease. He said, let's go eat, drink, and be merry. This is Jesus teaching a parable, y'all. You see, Jesus taught this parable of and the description in the Bible says a rich fool. A man brought forth plentiful, so much that he didn't have room to store it. Come on, y'all. Didn't God say, I'll pull you out a blessing that you won't have room to store it? Isn't this what's explained in this verse? God did what he did, and God did what he said he could do. So it was up to the man to become the steward. But you see, everything that God does for us, we don't always give the reaction or the action that, you know, is needed for it to be and please God. So I ask the question, how much is enough and how much is too much? This is so important. The more he got, the more he wanted. Don't that sound a little bit like greed? At one point, I could imagine that he thought that the bonds he had was enough. And he probably prayed and thought about it would be a great thing if he could only fill them. Show you how covetousness come on and greed come on, y'all, and selfish take place. You start leaning to your own understanding. At one point, he figured if the bonds he had, that's what he built, and he thought it would suffice. That if he could only feel it, it would be a happy day. But look what's happened now. Then greed set in, and enough was no longer enough. He didn't share or give to the poor. That didn't come to his mind. He didn't even sell at a discounted rate to get rid of some of it. He wanted to hold them for the future to guarantee that he would always have or hold it so that he could get a higher price. He only was concerned with himself. Never thanking God for his bountiful blessings. This is what we must do with what God gives us, my sisters and brothers. Ask God, what is his will? What would he like us to do with what he has given us? God is not going to ask you to give something that you need. God is not going to ask you to do anything above your ability. But God knows what he has put in your hands. And he knows that it's enough for you. And you might have a little something, something to share. God knows. You know, this man never thought that all that God has given him was not just for him. He didn't realize, well, if he did realize it, he just leaned to his own understanding and did what he wanted to do. You know, everybody that doesn't do the will of God doesn't realize it. Many people know the word of God. They have heard the word of God. They know God is full of goodness. And if we're going to imitate God, and if we are Christians, that we can't be Christ, but we could be Christ-like. Many people know that there's so much they could do that they just decide not to do it. You see, Luke 12 and 48 in the same chapter, and I often ask you to read the whole chapter. God is almost saying how he feel about it. He said, but he that knew not. See, just like I was talking about, some people know. But the scriptures say, he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, did something wrong but didn't have the knowledge, wisdom, understanding, Jesus said to them, shall be beaten with a few stripes. Come on, y'all. See, that's what I'm telling you. God knows everything. He's not going to be angry with you because information you don't know or been taught. But when you get the revelation, when you know more, then you could begin to do more. But until you do, and God searched the heart of man, he said, who commit things that's worthy of stripes but don't understand and didn't have the knowledge, he said he's going to receive a few stripes. He said, but to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. To whom much is given, much is required. God don't ask you to give beyond your means. Why would he do that? Even if we look at the tithes that are the measurement that many churches have decided to use, 10%. Now watch this. If I make $100, my tithe is $10. And people may not be glad to get that. But when the going get rough and the going get tough and God bless some people abundantly, so if you making, you know, $10,000 a month, then your tithes would be so much more. But you have to look at it. It's the same 10%. On $100, it's $10. On $1,000, it's $100. God is not asking for more from one than the other. The same form of measurement is the same form of measurement. But sometimes when people begin to get more, they can't see giving that much more, but not seeing the blessing that God has got them to that point to be able to give more. That's why the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. There's a verse in Luke 10 and 2. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And he asked them, please pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, y'all. God has given enough to who he has given anything to on this earth. where nobody should have to go hungry. People will have the right to spend their money where they want. And, of course, everyone does. But we have to remember, God has given every one of us enough for us and enough to help somebody along the way. If we look at verse 20, but the Lord said unto him, talking about the man who set it all up and know how he got it going on and what he's going to do and tear down the barns, build bigger ones, and keep everything. And now he feel glad about himself. He said, now it's time for him to go eat, drink, and be merry. But in verse 20, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things belong to which thou has provided? First of all, we don't know when we're going to die. I know some people had some things they didn't use and they wouldn't give it to anyone else to use. And they died. And everything that they had that they didn't use and didn't share belonged to someone else. They were storing up earthly treasures. By doing that and not doing what God has asked, they wasn't showing up no eternal treasures. You see, the rich man in his peril died before he could begin to use what he had stored up in the big barns. Let us not get it twisted. I'm not telling you that planning for retirement, preparing for life before death isn't wise, but don't neglect what is expected for you as you enter eternity. Jesus said when he come back, he's going to have his rewards in his hand. You can store up everything for the earthly and don't have nothing to bring you in eternity. So if you accumulate wealth only to enrich yourself with no concern for helping others, you will enter eternity empty-handed. The Bible teaches us that crowns will be given. And when Jesus come back, he's coming with his reward in his hand. Let me tell you this. God never asks anybody to do anything without blessing them. Listen to what I'm saying. God doesn't ask anybody to do anything without blessing them. And God does that because he don't want to say, as the man said in a parable of the servants, when the slothful servant went and buried God, the money that the master had given him, he even wanted to have kind. He said, you a hard man. You want to receive where you haven't sown. That let us know that that man didn't know the master. But the point I'm saying is God rewards us with blessings for everything that we do for him. You can believe me. God ain't going to let it go down as he asked and asked and asked and didn't give anything. Come on, y'all. Y'all know that's not how God is. God will want to know what you have done for him lately. The growing Christian realizes that there is no eternal value in accumulating wealth here on earth. y'all realize that everything on earth is temporal. And when you get all these fine houses, fine cars, and it's okay. I'm talking about the one that's just greed and the ones that is gathering and don't know how to scatter. I'm talking about the one who don't realize enough is enough and how much is too much. Because you got to realize all of this stuff that we accumulate on earth is just fuel for the great fire. You know, Peter talks about everything on this earth is going to be burned with a fervent heat. Everything got to pass away. You don't take nothing with you when you die. And you're standing there now empty-handed. This does not mean that the believer cannot enjoy the wealth if God gives it. Certainly he can. Rather, the mature believer does not hold tightly to material things, but walk in the truth that one life will soon be passed, and only those things that we did for Christ is going to last. Jesus said, fool, all of the greed and extra labor was in vain, because this night you will die, and all you own will belong to someone else. You see, instead of building barns and more barns, he could have given some to those who was in need. He didn't realize how much was enough and how much was just too much. Everything God gives us is not just for us, so don't ever think it is. There are no material possessions that you could bring with you beyond the grave. You see, all your property, clothes, and investment, money, possessions will belong to someone else when you die. Yet, so many people are consumed with worldly possession, investing, borrowing, scheming, and planning for years ahead. One day God will say, you fool, tonight I'm taking your soul, and you will have nothing in eternity. Only God knows how many untold billions of people have died unexpectedly, such as the wealthy man in this chapter. We are not ready, and they were not ready to meet God. Most people today are living selfishly for themselves, always thinking in terms of dollars and cents and dollars. Life is short, y'all, as James said in the book of James. It will be over before you know what happened. This life is only a vapor. What treasures you have laid up in heaven as a Christian. When was the last time you witnessed to someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you helped a poor person or shared Jesus with them or gave them a helping hand? All of us have something to share with others, believe me. Because that's the way God planned it. There will be no opportunity for, you didn't give me enough. The lady who gave the penny name, is her name ain't in the Bible, but the Bible speaks of her. God was saying how pleased he was because she gave all she had, a penny. And I can only imagine in the scripture don't say what God did for her. Come on, y'all. There are so many fools in the world today. We are living as if life will never end. They boast of their own goodness instead of boasting about the goodness of God. They stuff their face with all kind of delicacies without even thanking God for even one morsel of the food they eat. Out of the 86,400 seconds in a day, they don't even take time to say, thank you, God, for blessing me, realizing that everything you have came from God and everything you have belongs to God. Or they don't say, I love you, even once. Yet God gave his only begotten son to pay for our sin debt. Jesus paid a debt that we did. Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a big debt we couldn't pay. Jesus paid everything that we owed. He got us a receipt saying, payment paid in full, not guilty, so that we could have eternal life. Jesus is not thus talking. Jesus is not thus speaking a pay-as-you-go faith, or you can only get this or get that. But he wants our participation in a relationship in which God already provided what he wishes his people to have to give back to him. That's all he's saying. God gave you this, this, and this, and this, and this. And you see, God is going to provide the opportunity. Now, you don't have to go and give this and give that. If God puts something on your heart, do it. But God has put the opportunity. And what I mean by that is that God will let you hear of something, see something, and he's going to place it in your heart. All of the opportunities to do good deeds come from God. So you don't even have to worry about that. You know, sometimes I used to hear people say, I was going to give the lady something, but I think the devil told me that. Let me tell you this, and remember this. The devil is never going to tell you to give anything to anybody. God may have put it on your heart to go share the word of God with somebody, and you're going to say, I didn't go there because the devil could have been setting me up. When do you think the devil is going to speak to you to go share the word of God to somebody? Or give somebody a helping hand? Oh, I'm not going to fool with that, because that might be coming from the devil. Come on, y'all. That's a sure way to tell. In 21, this is how it would be with whosoever store up things for themselves, but not rich with God. If you are now sowing into the kingdom, either you're sowing into the kingdom or you're sowing into the world. Everything on this side of heaven is temporal. You will not be able to take any of it with you. So you have to ask yourself, how much is enough and how much is too much, and who can I help? And you could do like I do. When I pray in the morning, I ask God to give me the opportunity to serve somebody. And I wait for God. And I know it's God. And I try to do the will of God. You see, the scripture lets us know only what you do for Christ will last. And we should be seeking ye the first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto us. Why do you save money to retire, to buy more expensive cars and toys? Jesus is challenging us to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what we have been given. See, every time I see this, use what you have been given. What you have, God gave it to you. Everything that you have belongs to God. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells therein. Get it in your understanding. Faith, service, and obedience are the way to become rich towards God. God wants us to enjoy life. And John 10:10 says, the thief came but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God wants us to have balance, y'all. He wants us to have balance. The Bible often speaks about three types of people. One person work and uses the excuse that I want to give my family a good life. The more he gets, the more he thinks he needs. His wife feels neglected, his children abandoned, feels abandonment. He is now old with no solid relationship. Y'all know that, the people on the store and just people in life. Well, I was working so hard all of their young life that we don't have a relationship. Not that much joy, but surrounded by things. Then there's another person who never worked enough to take care of himself or his family. God called him slothful, and God hates slothfulness. And then there's one that work and have many opportunities, but only accept the one that fits in his plan as a father, a husband, and a servant of God. He have all that he needs and some of what he wants, but he is satisfied being rich in the love of his family and in the things of God. That's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? It's not so much how much we gather, y'all, but it's how much we scatter. And God not asking you to give away what you have, because, you know, you need to save and this and that. But every now and then you have something that you could share with somebody else. Every now and then you see a need so great, how can you turn your back on it? That's what he's saying. He don't expect you to take all your money out the bank and go give it to the Christian Fellowship bandwagon or anything like that. But he wants us to be sensitive. And he wants us to hear what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do in so many cases. And do it, because it's just the right thing to do. Anyone would like to say anything, you could say it at this time. If not, we could have our benediction. And anyone, if there's anyone on the line would like to do the benediction, I welcome you at this time. So all I can say with us tonight, I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for the word of God. And remember, don't get it confused that God wants you to do, because I have been in places and situations when it were babes of Christ that had just come to Christ and was loving on him so much. And the person that was asking for monetary things, they kept pounding it and pounding it. And that sometimes babes with not enough knowledge, trying to please God so well, they gave things they shouldn't have. Women began to give their wedding rings, and the person that was saying, if you ain't got, throw your purse up here. Now, how stupid could that be? But you see, when you're trying to please God and you're a babe in Christ and don't know, you see, that's the danger. See, the person saying all of that was just greed, and you got to have balance. God's not going to ask you to do nothing foolish like that. God is not going to ask you to get beyond your means. And when people say, I can't tithe because my bills, but God say, give me that 10% and watch how your bills get paid. You see, that's just a sacrifice that's in there. So you got to have balance. And you don't achieve balance without studying the word of God that you can know for yourself. But God is saying it's not how much you gather, but how much you scatter. And we all have to realize how much is enough and how much is too much. And we can rely on God to direct us who to give to, when to give, and how to give. And that's balance. So as we end tonight, I just want to say, may the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. In Jesus' name I pray that everyone have a great night rest, that everyone praise God for what they have and ask God his will for what they have, and everything is going to be all right. That's the lesson for tonight. God be with you till we meet again. Good night, everybody, and be blessed.